Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, it's the 98th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
Oh, this is Travis. I'm going to try to sound excited to be here. This is Chris. Was that a question? That was a question.
It's one of those weeks, man. You know, we thought last week, we were like, oh, man, you know, wrestling wasn't all that good, blah, blah, blah. And
last week was good compared to this week.
Oh, yeah, geez. Almost makes me not want to do a podcast. You know, there's like nothing good to talk about.
All right, good night, everybody. See you next week.
That was wonderful. Bravo.
Well,
Let's give it a shot.
Let's talk about TNA.
If we didn't turn off all the audiences now for that intro.
Oh, I know. It's like, hey, this show's going to suck this week. Thanks, bye. No.
At least we're being honest this week.
Well, it's not so much that we suck. It's because wrestling sucked. So maybe we can polish a turd here.
Wrestling sucks. You guys blow. I just sit back.
And enjoy it?
Yeah.
Cochino.
If y'all were any good at it.
All right. Let's talk about TNA, because TNA was a little bit better than WWE
this
week. By
the way, I recorded, okay? That's what I do.
Okay.
All right? This is... Okay.
Are we good now?
Yeah.
Can we go?
Sure.
All right. So, TNA. let's start on the high note, and then we'll work our way downhill.
Match of the week!
Wait a minute. Whoa, this is kind of weird. Start the highlight of the week, and it's TNA?
Yep. Match of the week. Definitely hands down for me. I guess for Chris?
Yeah.
Definitely for me, too.
Travis? Okay, we got a match of the week candidate. Well, not candidate. Pick. Yeah. The three-way between the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, and the Wolves.
Yep. Let's call them the Wolves Boys.
The Wolfie Boys.
The Wolf Boys. The Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and the Wolf Boys.
Yeah, that match was really good. It was bananas.
Yeah.
Shout out the bananas line now that you can't buy that shirt anymore.
In yellow.
Yeah, in yellow.
Mm. If you want an olive green tank top, there you go. Maybe I should take the shirt down now.
Yeah.
Spoiled bananas.
Well, I think you can still get it.
You can get it, but
you can get it in the yellow color for like the phone case and the pillow and all that stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, you can find out if you go to hwrpodcast.redbubble.com.
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 For all your HWR needs, t-shirts, phone cases, pillows, tote bags, phone cases.
I think you already said that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's how important it is. You gotta...
Hoodies.
Yes, we have hoodies.
Ooh. Stickers.
Stickers.
Yeah. So, there's all kinds of good stuff. All right, anyway... Enough of that shameless self-promotion there.
Hey, someone's got to do it.
Yeah, I know. So the three-way match, that was great. This is the best thing this week on wrestling, you know, on wrestling television, I'd say.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all the spots that that the Wolves were pulling on the Dudleys.
Was this technically the first time the Wolves and the Dudleys as a team ever faced off?
Maybe.
I think it may have been. I'm not sure, but...
It looked like it. Like, yeah. I 3D have been used to hardcore matches for a long time, but I don't think I've ever seen them in a match that stiff.
Yeah.
Or that fast-paced.
Hardcore isn't the same as ROH style.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Devon took the
double foot stomp.
Double foot stomps. The first one to the back and then the second one to the front, to his chest.
Yeah, go back and freeze frame his reaction whenever he gets that second one.
Oh, I'm too old for this shit! Bitch better pay me. My mama gave me this chain.
He had the look on his face like, I'm coming, Elizabeth. Oh, man, it was great. You know, all the planches and stuff diving outside of the ring.
Everybody had their moments to shine in that match.
And that 3D to end the match was just beautiful. It was well timed out.
Sold like a million bucks. Yeah. That reminded me of The Rock flopping like a fish for Steve Austin like five times over after he got stunnered.
Yeah.
That was the sell for the Wolves when they took that 3D to end the show. Oof. Yeah,
it was great.
Awesome.
And I think I was bitching just a little bit last week about the vagueness of the rules of the series. And I think that they kind of alleviated some of that, said what the rules are is that all three teams are going to be in a match every week, and whichever team gets two wins first wins the whole series. And whichever team is the last one to win picks the stipulation for the next match. So in this case, the Dudleys won. They get to pick the stipulation for next week's match. But it'll be another three-way, except it'll just have a stip that they will, you know, reveal, I guess, next week. So I'm really looking forward to that because without a stipulation, it was great.
They did finish those three matches before he got injured, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean before Davey got injured? Yeah. Before he broke his leg?
Yeah. Good. Because I would be very disappointed. If this is the first match they can do working together. Yeah. It was just cool to see Hardys and Dudleys working. You know, they have their chemistry. But when you throw in the mix, the fresh blood of
the Wolves. Youth.
Yeah, the youth of the Wolves. Just throwing that little extra spice in the mash. Yeah.
As much as we liked the first encounter between the Hardy Boys and the Wolves, it looked like the Wolves slowed themselves a little bit down to compliment the Hardys so that they can find a groove together. This match, they were just all over the place. Like, they had no neutral. Like, they went at their own pace, and if you couldn't hang, fuck it. And I think that's what made the whole thing look good, that you had all these guys that weren't used to that kind of pace, and everything stood out. Like, it felt like a lot was going on, but not to the point that you couldn't keep up with everything. Like, you could still keep up with everything that was going on in the match.
Yeah.
Like the swanton from Jeff, and as soon as he got up, bam, he got kicked right in the face.
Yes.
There was a lot of that. Like, the one person would do their signature, their finisher, and as soon as they get up, bam, you know, some kind of super kick or body slammer, like the splash on
the
top
counter of the Whisper to the Wind I'd never seen before.
Yes.
Where Davey jumped on Matt to clothesline Jeff as he was about to jump.
Yeah.
This is a move that's been in the Hardys repertoire for years, ever since they were in Attitude Era with Edge and Christian.
Even Solo, when Jeff was wrestling Solo in Hardcore, he would get a chair and do the same thing.
I don't remember the opponent ever using Matt as a stepping stone to get to Jeff to counter that. Okay, I could be wrong. I'm just saying it might have happened during Edge and Christian's feud. Mm-hmm. I can see one of them doing that, especially Edge. But I off the top of my head, I can't.
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing that before.
If anything, it's been too long since.
Exactly. Since it's past the statute of limitations.
Yeah,
it's on the network. If you want to go,
how much is that?
I think it's $9.99.
Okay.
Yeah. Stop.
What are they doing to us?
They're brainwashing you. That's what they're doing. Now, the aside from the spots, the planned spots, that were cool and the counters were cool. The things that were normal things that you would normally see were still executed very well.
Yeah.
Like Matt Hardy's Twist of Fate. It was just, just a Twist of Fate, but man, it was just so clean. It was the best Twist of Fate that I've seen him do, so it was just all the little things were just
the 3D.
Kicking off. Like I said, the 3D was just beautiful. You know, everything was just kicking off on all cylinders and everything was going smooth.
Had a nice flow.
It did.
It didn't slow down.
The reversal of the Irish whips, and then they both dived out to hit the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the normal stuff, it looked very polished. It looked really good.
Yeah. So kudos to all three of those teams, and I really look forward to next week's iteration of this series here.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that Chris normally asks.
Okay.
When we all have the same match of the week.
Oh, you stole my penis!
No, Abel did that. I'm just stealing your thunder.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's usually where it comes from. Yeah, Lisa. So, yeah. Go.
Wait a minute. Are there? So it's unanimous. Match of the week. Do we want to make this a step further? Or do you want to put this on the back burner for now and see what happens to the other two matches?
That's exactly what I was going to say, that, what I'm afraid of with this. I'd hate to nominate this one as maybe a match of the year and have, you know, the next one that'll be like a ladder match. You know, like, okay, we're going to have...
Ah, you read the spoilers, you son of a bitch.
I didn't read spoilers.
But oh, well,
I,
you're a good guesser.
Yeah, well, I mean, come
how
on.
How many stipulations could there be?
Yeah, exactly.
Inferno, man! It's fucking TNA.
Dude, it's...
They got a stick with nails coming out of it.
It's the Hardys. It's the Hardys. Of course, there's
one's going to be a ladder. No. Team Dudley's won this one, so it's going to be a table. It'll be a table match.
Table.
Then Hardys will win that match, and it'll be a ladder match.
What will the Wolves pick?
Well, that's the best of three right there, right? So, well, no.
Well, it's whoever gets to two first.
That's true. Yeah. There will be a...
Kennel from Hell match. Wolves.
Okay, the point is there could be some sort of badass stipulation with these three teams involved that I'd hate to nominate one, then the other, then the other.
We'll
then
table the other. It then.
Okay.
We'll table it. That's at least, yeah.
All right, well, that's that. Meh.
Yeah.
Razzle.
All right. Wobble Wood and EY are going to be having a match next week.
Oh, good God.
And I kind of don't really have a problem with it. Until I heard Travis's take on this before we started recording. And Travis, I think you put it best. Why don't you go ahead and say what you said earlier?
Well, they could have a match.
Uh-huh.
And after seeing this little promo they did on this week's episode, they could have a match if they can stop sucking each other's dicks long enough to have a match. This promo they did... Good God. I mean, bust up the knee pads, man. Jesus.
I got the same vibe with Dreamer and the three Negro League in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later. Yeah.
That is one thing that TNA has always done obsessively, is like they'll put each other over to the extent of fellatio.
Yeah. You know? It's like lightsaber battle with their own dicks. Yeah. Fwings.
Yeah. You know, you swayed my opinion a bit from when I watched it, you know, last week. I was like, man, this is pretty cool. I like it. I'm digging it. Face versus face stuff. The respect is there. I like it. And then when Travis was like, it's like they're just sucking each other's dicks. I was like, yeah, I guess they are.
It's fun.
My enthusiasm went out the window there.
Or it got more excited.
I mean, like, no pun intended. Like, we've been saying it every week. These New York tapings. TNA has a tendency of dangling the carrot for the next episode. Round two of the three-way. And then with the EY and Robert Roode, I don't know what they're going to do with that damn carrot, but at least there's enough for us to watch.
I feel sorry for that carrot.
I know, right?
So, you know, but I am still excited for the match. You know, because it's EY and it's Bobby Roode. I mean...
They've wrestled before when Roode had his heel turn and Eric Young had just won the title, and they had some pretty good matches on Impact too, so I know what they're going to do.
All kidding aside on that promo, Eric Young saying that Bobby Roode is like the greatest wrestler of all times and it's never going to change. He's always going to say he's the greatest. Like, what? Why would you? You're like putting yourself down. You're putting other people down and you're like elevating him for God forsake, whatever reason. That was like over.
You thought it was too much.
It's too much.
Kind of like the equivalent of Bryan as world heavyweight champion running from Kane.
Yeah. That's what you're saying. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm still looking forward to the match though.
Yeah.
The match should be good. Yeah.
Here's the thing. And Chris, don't accuse me of watching spoilers or reading spoilers because I haven't. Robert Roode's winning this.
Yeah.
Even without reading spoilers.
Yeah.
Robert Roode's winning this.
Eric Jones just put him over for it.
Yeah.
He said he's the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah. And I think we've already seen EY get bombarded by Lashley enough times.
He's had his...
The storyline right now is revolving around Roode.
Exactly. Yeah. So... That's the only thing that's kind of deterring.
This shouldn't
even
be happening right now. It should have been Robert Roode won the steel cage match.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should have happened.
Well, I think they're just trying to squeeze another episode of Impact out of it.
All right. Devil's advocate here. Say Roode is the number one contender and Lashley beats him.
Yeah.
Who's left?
Nobody. I don't think so. I think that TNA will have the same problem that WWE has with Brock Lesnar. Brock is a beast. Nobody can beat him. Lashley's a beast. Nobody can beat him.
What about, thinking outside the box here, Bram? He just went toe-to-toe with Abyss for three matches and beat him every time.
Yeah, and they were like brutal stipulation-type matches that Abyss should be known for. Yeah. And yeah, he beat him at his own game. Ooh, maybe. I think he might need a little bit more
I'm not saying
a little bit more time in the oven.
Yeah, I'm not saying win, become the fucking champion, but
I think in that New York audience who's already seen those matches, he's got credibility in that place to make it legitimate. Bethlehem, Timbuktu, California, who knows?
I like how you equated Timbuktu to California. Yeah, that little place called California that nobody cares about. Yeah.
If it's outside of Texas, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, not Texas. Okay. Anyhow,
besides Bram, anyone else?
Besides Bram, maybe Joe, but he's busy with the exhibition title. No,
that's
happening next
week. That's this week.
What?
Joe versus Lashley.
What?
This week, really? Like tomorrow. Yeah.
What?
And they've already had that a few months ago.
That was before Joe was exhibition champ, though.
Ooh, yeah.
It says Champions Collide, and it has Joe versus Lashley for tomorrow.
Really? Hmm. Okay,
but that's not going to be like a few. This is going to be
like a non-title.
I'm hoping a little schmoz ending, whatever, some kind of clusterfuck or something. And
it should be because both of those champs need to be protected.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But okay, yeah. Nobody. I mean, not Magnus.
If they can get Gunnar away from this godforsaken storyline with Shaw and Anderson, Gunnar could be a threat.
Even then, you got to rebuild up Gunner because he's been kind of
He's been in that stupid storyline for how many months now?
Yeah. It's kind of made him look a little...
Ever since he randomly, just for whatever reason, wanted to get Shaw out of that mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's been stuck in that shit ever since.
Yeah. And it could be an easy transition because I've already done it with Shaw versus Anderson, to have it exclusively Shaw versus Anderson and then pull Gunner away and let Gunner do his own thing and make a run at the title.
All right, so far for this week's episode, which this will all be airing by the time this comes out, but number one contender for the X Division Championship, it's going to be Tigre Uno versus Manic versus DJZ versus Crazy Steve versus Homicide versus Loki.
Mm-hmm.
So Loki will be number one contender again, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And didn't they have like that six-man tag on this past episode? You know, that was just...
Yeah.
It wasn't as impressive as I thought it could have been. Yeah. It's not that memorable.
I think every man for himself is going to be better as opposed to just two teams of people just thrown together just for the sake of having an X Division match.
But they just did that. I mean, they did that to determine the number one contender a few weeks back. So,
yeah.
We're also going to have a Knockouts Championship match, Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell, which Taryn Terrell beat Madison Rayne.
Right.
Which was random.
I have no idea why Madison is getting a number one contender shot.
Shouldn't it have been, instead of Madison, should it have been maybe Velvet, since she's at least been associated with this whole storyline?
Maybe.
And hasn't gotten a cut yet.
Exactly, yeah. And, I don't know. The match was kind of sloppy. I didn't really care too much for the match. The end, I did like the little RKO at the very end, though.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I'm waiting for, though, with the Knockouts. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Havoc. Jessica Havoc.
This week?
Wednesday. Yeah, so... that should spice things up, I'd say, in the Knockout division. So, I could forgive all that stuff. I'm just waiting for her to show up.
Mm-hmm. Which is this week, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, speaking of easy transitions, we talked about Gunner. Let's talk about the other Army boy.
Okay, cool. Sergeant Melendez. I think this is interesting. I hadn't heard about it at all before, this episode. Uh-huh. So, for them to just come out and be like, hey, we're debuting this guy, and being all excited about it. Whoa, cool, but this is kind of out of left field. Now, putting that nitpick aside, all right, cool, I'm down. I mean, dude, you know, is a real war hero, and, you know, he really lost his leg. He's really training without a leg. You know, just, he's like Zach Gowen, but buff.
The one thing, too, he's got a better story.
He's got a look, and, you know, he's got the physique.
He looks like a wrestler.
Yeah.
The one thing that TNA's been good at for the last 4 or 5 years is, even though sometimes their shows were missable, when you got to a pay-per-view, they always had these video packages to, like, summarize how everything got to where you're watching now.
Yeah.
And they've always been so good.
Yeah.
That was another example. The whole video just... put it in clear perspective for me without having to know anything further, not even knowing who this guy was. Mm-hmm. They made it perfectly clear in the 2 or 3 minutes they had, and I was already invested in the character. Mm-hmm. Already. I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, I definitely want to see where it goes as well, because I think also another thing that'd be interesting about it is that in the training video, where they were showing him actually, you know, practicing and sparring and stuff, he was doing it without his prosthetic.
Yeah.
You know, so that'd be interesting if he could, you know, I'm sure at some point we'll have the storyline where he's wrestling in there with his prosthetic and the heel takes the prosthetic off. Oh no, what's going to happen? And then he still winds up kicking his ass and be like, yeah, I'm a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest and I still won. You know, like I'm waiting for that to happen. You know, it's going to be pretty cool. So, yeah. And I mean, when you add that side of it with the war hero side of it, like, oh man,
storylines. In New York City of all places.
Yeah, storylines are right themselves.
Perfect venue, perfect city to debut them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like it. Let's see where it goes. Hopefully, you know,
he won't. you can't really shit on this storyline, yeah. You know, if you are your Chris.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully this won't go the way of like Jesse Neal. You know, or, hey, we got our war hero. You know, he was, you know, in the Navy. And
now
like,
he's managing a Walmart.
Yeah. Mm. We don't know what happened.
Well, yeah, the whole Jesse Neal thing. What did they do with him? I mean,
they didn't do anything with
him. Dude, Ink was badass, though. They actually put some effort in there. They actually gave that team some momentum. But at the end of the day, once that team folded, they didn't know what to do with Jesse afterwards and after that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, eventually, at some point, Sergeant Melendez is going to have to evolve his character to where he's not just Sergeant Melendez.
He's not going to be able to receive the sympathetic heat that the crowd will give him from the first few, months or weeks, probably. Yeah, after a while, he's going to have to develop some kind of character.
Yeah, there's going to have to be something else to his story, you know. But
that stands out from Jesse Neal and from Gunner.
Do you think we might see a tag team with him and Gunner?
Maybe. That'd be cool. I mean, why not?
Although I think Gunner was Marines.
Still, military, I mean.
If you're in the military, you know.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean, to form a wrestling tag team. Well, hell, we could play off of that. Have it be an Army versus Marines pissing contest between the two. Who
can outdo the other one?
Yeah. And neither one of them necessarily needs to be the heel. They both could be faces and just have a military pissing contest, you know? Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. So there's a lot of potentials coming out of this guy. So, you know, hopefully he sticks around long enough and hopefully TNA sticks around long enough to actually use him.
Yeah. I'm debuting. We're closed. What? What happened? I just got here.
Oh, like I always go to Wrestle 1. Wait, that just closed too? Oh.
Where's Global Force?
Not open yet.
Damn it.
Open.
All right, Chris, you brought this up a little bit earlier. You wanted to bring up MVP.
Man, him on the mic, even when it's a little bit, not to get a cheap heat, but extreme as far as the promo goes. I might have been in the minority when I noticed a few weeks ago in the New York tapings when Ethan Carter and Rhino and the Good Humor Boy was getting arrested, and some of the cops were actually using the chokehold at that time, which like days after they made a big deal about the dude in New York City dying after the chokehold.
Right.
And then for MVP to cross that line and then piss on it so you didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
And go there in that audience, in that arena, in that city. Fuck, man. What is he doing in TNA? Why is he not back in WWE?
Because he's not PG.
Right.
He would be muffled so much over there. He'd be scripted. It wouldn't work out.
Yeah, that promo that you're giving him so high compliments of would have never even existed in WWE. So. Yeah.
But speaking of promos, you did mention the whole thing earlier, but Rhino.
Okay. Yes.
You know what? You saw the promo that Rhino did? Okay.
The old school.
You got it too!
Old school.
I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm getting high threes over here.
This, I don't know if this was intentional or I just never cut it before, but Rhino is
old school.
He's an old school wrestler. That was an 80s promo that he pulled.
That's like heel against Hogan kind of promo.
Like you can almost picture like the WWF backdrop behind him.
Mm-hmm.
No, literally a rhino from the zoo behind, like, as a backdrop.
Yeah, because that's what his Titantron is, just a rhino. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm just glad I wasn't the only one to notice that.
No, it was very, very, very old school.
Okay. And, not to say it was bad. I liked the promo.
Oh, yeah.
It just had an old school vibe to it.
Yeah. It's like, this guy's a little antiquated, but I like it. You know.
Because you don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
So. And it works for him.
Well, the only person that's around that can still do those, and he's not even an old school guy, so to speak, would be Joe. You know, because Joe always pulled off those intense screaming the entire time, just saying stuff.
Like, Ultimate Warrior.
I'm Samoa Joe. I'm going to eat your babies. I'm going to, you know, it's like, okay, Joe, calm the fuck down. Like,
what promos are you listening to? What the hell?
But I'm saying that he has done those type of things in the past. But, you know.
What, cut crazy promos or eat babies?
Well,
both. Maybe both. Have you seen him?
He is Samoa Joe.
Yeah. He's going to kill you.
So, yeah, I dug it. I dug Rhino's promo, and, you know, we all dug MVP, so hooray.
So, is it safe to say that this was another week, even though it was kind of flat in general, that TNA got the upper hand on WWE?
I'd say so, yes. Which, you know, there's a lot of talk coming out of WWE, especially pushing this on the network about the Monday Night Wars and how WCW is kicking WWE's ass and this and that. You know, in my mind, if TNA and WWE were on a level playing field, I think that TNA would probably be tipping the scales in their favor. You know, what I mean?
If more people knew about them, right?
Yeah. Like, I would say that because of Billionaire Ted's money, they were on a better network, they had better backing, they had better advertisement, so that they could compete on the same level with WWE. TNA cannot compete on the same level with WWE, but their product is better right now. So if they were already on that same level, I think TNA would be inching out in front of them.
For right now.
For the last month
or
two.
They're really hitting their niche in this market they're in right now.
Yes, right now. I'm not saying it's not right now.
Okay. So I just wanted to... We've been praising TNA ever since they went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't forget what came before or what's going
to
happen.
The Bethlehem tapings that they had before New York are actually really good too, but we just decided not to watch them because we knew what we were getting in New York because that stuff was taped light years ago.
Yeah. So taped like 5 years ago.
So this one coming up tomorrow, this is still in New York, right?
Yeah.
When are they doing Philly? Right? Or is it...
No, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
They've already already filmed those.
No. They haven't yet.
From what I understood, New York's going all the way up until Bound for Glory, right?
Is it?
Yes.
What? Really? They're going to be in New York this whole time?
They're actually
taping some more. The one thing I wanted to mention, I might have this wrong, but from what I've been reading on the internet and from what I've been reading on Impact Wrestling's website about dates for their schedule, their shows, they might be taping post Bound for Glory episodes before Bound for Glory.
Really? That would be awkward. That'd be really weird. That's like taping WrestleMania stuff before WrestleMania. Like, everybody will know. God, that'd be so strange.
They couldn't do that. There's no way. You're alienating your own audience, and they're not going to want to watch their biggest show of the year.
But if you're cutting budgets and you're watching every penny and you're already on a thin line with Spike trying to find a way to make it work,
then you schedule it to where you don't have any tapings. You schedule it to where it bounces out all the way up until your pay-per-view.
Is there a way that you could make all the people that go to the arena have like some sort of a thing that they sign that says, you know, they can't?
No, because
really...
then, even then, first of all, you have to take them at their word. Secondly, they're already you're spoiling everything for your own audience. They're not going to want to watch.
Well, the only people that are going to get spoiled are people that are in the arena that night. I mean, that's even, you know, fraction of what your entire audience base is.
That's kind of like
not for TV.
That's kind of like the taping schedules during the holidays where they tape two episodes of Raw, an episode of Raw on Monday live, and then an episode of Raw on Tuesday, and then SmackDown on Wednesday for that week, and then SmackDown Thursday for the next week where it's all jumbled up and fans are like, how do we get here?
But still, it's just fans in the arena, fans that aren't in the arena for those shows.
But the fans in the arena, how are they going to react to the stuff that they're getting when they don't even know how they're getting?
They'll be confused more. They wouldn't know how to react.
Yeah, well, that's why you pipe in cheers and boos.
So, like, say, for example, like, what if at Bound for Glory, Bobby Roode kills Eric Young and he's a heel now?
Yeah.
And then, but they taped it before where he's a face.
Mm-hmm.
So you have him kill somebody at the pay-per-view, the next week he's getting cheered even though he's killed somebody.
You're on that Rick Rude theory. Hey, let's tape an episode of here. Let's tape an episode post Bound for Glory, and then before Bound for Glory, the dude gets in a car accident or something, and he can't even perform Bound for Glory. And then you have all this commentary post Bound for Glory about how good he was in the pay-per-view when in fact the dude's dead. Or he's not there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just...
It's risky.
Risky's yeah. not even the word, bro. There's a level above risky. It's stupid. There you go.
Let's not forget, I will bash TNA.
Deja vu moment right there.
we're going off of this here that really isn't confirmed. I mean, this is just something that Chris said. Can we really believe Chris?
No, we'll delete the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But if it happens 6 weeks from now, y'all are going to look at me like, the prophecy was fulfilled.
No, we'll
Illuminati.
Say, no, we'll just say the reports are right.
Okay.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, Chris, you big jerk. All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and take a commercial break now. And then when we come back, we'll talk about WWE.
Yeah. I'm out.
Toodles.
Hey guys, this is Abel, and I just wanted to tell you about a little side project I've been working on. It is called NWA Ringside Radio. It is another podcast where myself, Alex Del Barrio, and Kobe Primo all sit down and talk about the NWA on the national and global level. You can find it on NWARingside.com, Facebook.com/NWARingsideRadio, and on Twitter at NWA Ring Radio. We look forward to seeing you ringside.
Hey everybody, this is Chris from Houston Wrestling Radio. It's that time of the year again, back to school. So you know those kids are going to be wanting some kind of hip wear to take to school so they can look cool in front of all the little punks. HWRpodcast.redbubble.com is the place to get your shirts, your iPhone cases, your tote bags. Whatever they need to get to school, we'll find a way to get them covered. And hell, since you're already shopping for them, why not get something for yourself? HWRpodcast.redbubble.com.
This is Al Snow, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Yes, that's Houston Wrestling Radio. So excited that parts of me are pulling up inside me right now. Thank you.
All right, guys, and we're back. Thank you so much for sticking through with us through the commercial break. If you're listening to us on your iPod, iPad, whatever, thank you so much. And go on to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. That really helps us out, and we really appreciate it. It helps our self-esteem.
More than anything.
If you're listening to us on the Stitcher or Radio app, give us a nice little thumbs up down there at the bottom again. For our self-esteem. And on if you're streaming off of HoustonWrestlingRadio.com, you can leave a comment there. Of course, the best way to get a hold of us is through Facebook and Twitter. Facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio.
Radio.
Yes. Yeah, I had to make sure that that was exciting because now we're fixing to talk about WWE, which... One of the worst episodes of Raw in a while, I'd say.
Yeah, this was bad.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think? Do you think it was that bad?
Oh,
hey, I wouldn't know. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, you picked a hell of an episode to miss.
Yay, vacation!
What were you doing?
I was driving back from Panama City Beach, Florida, the home of the last episode of Nitro.
Nice.
Did you take pictures? Did you go to the thing and just start taking pictures? Was there little signs?
Velvet ropes
are in there. And stuff.
That was like a copper plaque.
Oh, you mean the tag belts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So, how did Florida go?
That was cool. I wish I would have stayed there longer.
Yeah. Well, that can be said of any vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I was with my family. So, no, I didn't want that to last too long. But, yeah. I didn't drive, so, like, I was rolling with my sister and my brother-in-law, so I didn't get to go anywhere on my own. So I learned my lesson. I've had enough of family. I'm taking my own car next time. Damn it.
Oh, Chris, you're such a jerk. All right. Let's talk about Raw. We're trying to dance around it, but.
You dance?
Well.
Man, you just fall over and roll.
He does the evil shuffle. That's all he does. Yeah. See, look, he's doing it now. Okay. It's. Oh, here we go.
Why is this a video podcast? All right.
Because we want to keep our eyesight. That's why.
Don't want to break no cameras.
Fans only knew.
All right. So.
All four of them.
You know what I learned from Raw?
You don't learn shit. You're Mexican, man.
Yeah, well, what I attempted to learn. Bree's a bitch. Allegedly. I don't know. This could all be Nikki just spreading vicious lies and rumors about Bree.
No, there's facts on Wikipedia to back that up. Yeah. I read that. I Wikipedia'd her and it said Bree Bella, a.k.a. the bitch. So, Yeah, it's legit, man.
If it says on the internet, it's got to be true.
She's kind of an asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you are what you eat. Anyway.
Or you are what you suck.
Right. Yeah. All right. So. God. So, the first half of Raw.
My God, Cena.
Shut up. The first half of Raw or so, we kept getting little vignettes of Nikki saying that, oh, Bree's a terrible person because Bree stole my boyfriend. Bree, made me look like I wrecked the car. Bree did this. Bree did that. And,
you know what?
What?
She didn't tell anybody.
And she didn't tell anybody until now.
Yeah.
When she said it on national television.
You know what? It doesn't matter if she says it years late. It's still relevant. Damn it.
Well, there's a certain statute of limitations, but...
I don't care.
You don't care?
You know what? I don't care either.
You got nothing there, Travis?
No? He complimented me. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? You're both idiots.
Tell us something we don't know, Abel.
Well, what we don't know is apparently Stephanie has a nice little woman heart on for Nikki and decided to just... give her a Divas title shot out of the blue. Made kind of not really a whole lot of sense because my initial reaction was, I don't think Paige and AJ are going to take too kindly to this. And sure enough, Paige and AJ, Paige and AJ come out and they're like, hey.
No, Paige looks like she's aging. That's why you said right.
That should be their name of the tag team, the team up. Paigey.
Paigey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paigey?
Paigey, the pasty one.
Oh my God, she hit him with the Paigey.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, you know, I was thinking that Paige and AJ were going to save that whole segment, but no, they were victims of the segment. Like, they were focusing on the wrong two female wrestlers. They were focusing on AJ and Nikki. Or, excuse me, Paige and Nikki. Ah, damn it. I screwed up again. Bree and Nikki. Yes, there we go. Ugh. This is how bad it was. It's just messing with my mind.
It's so bad it made you stupid.
Yes.
Her!
So, yeah, they were just focusing on them. And, like, I don't think even Paige got a whole lot in edgewise. She pretty much said, well, if you're going to talk about the title holder, you need to have the bloody title holder. And here I am, and I'm going to kick your ass, and you can't do it. No, she didn't say any of that. None of that happened.
No, she did that, and she...
walked away.
She walked to her queue where she's supposed to be behind Nikki, so that she can be shoved into her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was so awkward, so
and AJ didn't do anything. She just stood there.
Yeah, she was just sitting there, standing in the background, just rolling her eyes at Nikki and Bree, you know, fighting. Like, why are we focusing so much on Nikki and Bree and literally throwing... AJ and Paige in the back. You know, come on.
Because Stephanie's involved.
Ah, I know, but geez. Like, Stephanie could still be involved while showing the actual women wrestlers more respect that they deserve.
No, she can't.
Ugh.
It's a proven fact.
I don't know. It was terrible.
I can go back in my big tirade I had about Stephanie burying the whole... Never mind. Okay. Next!
Really? Next? Just move on?
Okay.
You teased that you were going to do a whole thing tirade. No, I don't know. I want to see the tirade now.
No, I don't want to. Go back to...
Do you want to see the tirade?
Go back to our SummerSlam preview. I already talked about it then.
Okay.
Same thing.
It's not like we don't repeat ourselves on air anyway, so might as well bring it out again just to get your jollies off. Go for it.
Stephanie's only concerned with whatever she's involved with.
Okay.
She's not involved with women getting the title from Paige.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoever the champion is and whoever's fighting the champion, they're might as well be jobbers.
Just say it. She wants dick.
What? Where did that come from?
That's scandal.
This is what happens when Chris doesn't actually watch the show. He just sits back and tries to...
He starts thinking of pornos in his head.
Yeah.
Like our TNA talk didn't help any.
Okay, fine. Let's move on. Jesus.
Well, did you have any final poignance to say about that?
No, other than go screw yourself. Not you, them. Like, oh, with the whole storyline. It's like, jeez, quit. Stop. Just stop and let the
Paige bitches do their own thing.
Let Paige and AJ shine, please.
The best thing I can even muster to say about this storyline between the Bellas is going back and watching last week's episode after Nikki just like went full on like going crazy and attacking her. Damn, she looks good doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, that was like the hottest she's ever been.
Yeah, I agree.
And when she like gets done, she like fixes her skirt, yeah, and fixes her boot. Man,
yeah, she's looking good doing it. You know, I'm not debating that at all. She, you know, she is looking good doing it. But
and they're Are they purposely making Brie look bad? Like visit, like the way her outfit, she dresses like poorly and everything next to. Nikki's all elegant dresses and high heels that she can't walk in.
They probably are, and I don't understand the reasoning behind it, but here's another gripe, and I think I brought this up last week. If you're going to be bringing up D-Bry when Nikki is, you know, talking about, you know, Brie and, oh, go to your troll husband, whatever, when are they gonna bring up Cena into
right,
this?
Exactly.
If you're gonna bring up one, you need to bring up both. Either don't bring them up at all, or bring them both up.
They are acknowledging total diva storylines, which season 3 premieres this Sunday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're going to bring in that storyline aspect from the show. But at the same time, they're going to try to ignore the fact that Nikki and Cena are going out.
Yeah. And I mean, the way that I would see this all tying in is I don't think Cena would approve of all this behavior. Exactly. I'm sure Cena would show up and be like, "Hey, quit being a bitch to your sister." You know? But that's not gonna
because
happen,
on the show,
but it could.
On the show, Cena is like the voice of reason.
Yeah,
because she wants to be a bitch on the show, and he's right. Like, calm the fuck down.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
Uh oh.
Oh, here we go.
Game time.
He put his phone down, so okay.
I'm gonna snap my finger.
No, we're not.
God damn it.
What are you more interested in watching? Total Divas on Sunday or Raw next Monday?
Raw next Monday.
Damn. We're getting there though. If the shows keep tanking,
I did think it was funny. Like the best thing that the commentators can put over Total Divas premiering, they said it's going to be it's interesting. No, they said Rosa Mendez is going to be at a show. That's going to be interesting. And I was like, what aspect of Rosa Mendez is interesting?
Yeah,
she's been on the roster for how many years, and they've done. I can't tell you two things about her.
Yeah. I thought that was a really, really weird selling point. I'm glad I wasn't the only one that noticed it, because that's exactly what I thought. Like, oh man, new season of Total Divas, this time with Rosa Mendez. Okay.
Who the fuck is Rosa Mendez?
Yeah, like, who cares?
Like, the Mexican audience?
Well, even then.
They don't watch E.
Yeah. I don't know. Even,
they can't afford cable to watch E.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like a weird selling point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
They can watch it on the network for $9.99.
No, they can't. It's not on the network. Total Divas.
Not the new season.
Well, it will. Okay, it will be.
Your joke backfired, son.
Yeah.
What's next?
The jerk. Zeb Coulter's back.
Yeah. Yay. Next.
No?
I'm already done with that storyline. They fucked that thing up.
I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's there. He didn't really do much last night, but he's back out there.
He's back to support the grand feud of Swagger versus Bo. Whoopty fucking do.
Yeah, Swagger. And
unless
Bo
is suddenly un-American, like how does that feud play out? Like, it would have been better if Zeb was on the shelf longer, if just so he wouldn't have to be involved in this feud. Because I don't see where Zeb's gonna fit in with this at all.
They dropped the ball on Swagger.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
And I don't see why, because it's not like they're dropping the whole thing with Rusev.
They had things going for that feud.
Yeah, they just kind of unplugged Swagger and plugged in Mark Henry, which I'm not complaining.
Does that even count if they're tagging against the Wyatts again?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Mark Henry and Big Show are involved as a
tag
team, and now you're pulling him away to fight Rusev, when you could still have Swagger fight Rusev, but I don't know why they're pulling Swagger away just to feud with Bo. Like, but then again, what happened?
Yeah, this is a big clusterfuck here.
It is.
They formed the world's largest tag team, I guess if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Then they're feuding with the Wyatts, who aren't doing shit.
And who are losing to them, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe they didn't have long-term plans for that tag team. So they wanted to just put... Maybe they just wanted to get Mark Henry back on TV to get audience warmed up to him again, just so they can go off with this feud with Rusev.
Even then, it's still too soon. You should have let Swagger have another pay-per-view exactly. match with them, and then throw in Henry.
Here's my issue with it. I had more faith in them putting Swagger over on Rusev than I do with Mark Henry. Because to me, Mark Henry is more of... He's like Jericho. Mm-hmm. He's just there to put you over.
Yeah.
So, I don't see... Which is a shame, because I would imagine Mark Henry could take Rusev.
Yeah.
But I don't see them booking it like that.
Yeah.
And this is going to be another displacement for mm-hmm. Rusev.
Which, again, I don't feel like they properly finished Swagger versus Rusev. And I don't feel like they've properly started anything with the tag team, the world's largest tag team, yet. So that they're really leaving a couple of loose ends hanging there. And
a little nitpick on Monday also about that. When they're hyping up that match, they said it's the world's largest tag match. We mean that. Literally. Here's the weight of all the guys. And they told you about...
Yeah, 1,400 pounds.
Dude, we've seen this match like 3 times already. And you're just now pointing out the fact that...
That they're all fat asses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, somebody just did the math on this. like some ring guy was like, you know what? Maybe we should have reinforced the ring for this match. I don't know. We'll do that on Monday. How much do we need to reinforce? Well, I don't know. Let's weigh all these guys. Holy shit, 1,400? You know what? We should put that over.
I think
we joke about that. That's probably what
happened. That's probably exactly what happened.
There's a lot of unnecessary clustering from what I'm hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
And from the results I read on what happened on the show. We got Nikki and Brie and then AJ and Paige all in the same ring at the same time. What the hell?
Yeah.
We've got the whole thing going on with the mixing of Swagger and Rusev and Bo Dallas and Mark Henry and the Big Show and the Wyatts. And then we've got... How the hell do we end up with a 6-man with Chris Jericho in there?
Mm. Jericho had a highlight reel, the start of the show, and it was supposed to be Randy Orton
by himself.
Yes. And then the Authority, and the Authority came out.
Yeah, instead of just Orton, it was Orton.
And plus that's all. When Triple H, when he came out, said that John Cena wants to be the number one contender, but he needs to prove himself or some bullshit. And that's when Cena came out. No, first Roman Reigns came out.
So Triple H said John Cena has to prove himself being a number one contender, even though he already has the rematch clause already in his contract.
He said he wasn't. He said
exactly what happened.
Was it?
Because that's when Cena came out and
he said he wasn't ready. He said he wasn't ready or some shit like that.
Yeah, he said that he didn't think that Cena deserved it or whatever. And that's when Cena came out and pretty much called him out the same way you just did, Chris, and said, "I'm not number one contender. I'm invoking my rematch clause, and if you don't give me my rematch clause, I'm going to sue you." Yes, they brought in Cena,
the S word
with Cena, the sue you. I
remember
he told him straight out, "I will sue you." So much to where I will own the WWE and I will fire you. He literally said that.
Okay, so there is an episode. There was one thing I saw on Monday that was WWE related that was a whole lot better than Raw, apparently. I saw episode 3
okay.
of the Monday Night War.
Okay.
Where McMahon cut the promo before the show started that he's like, you know what? I don't think our audience likes to have their intelligence insulted anymore.
Right.
This is pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's when I'm getting more of Raw from what you guys are saying as opposed to me sitting down for 3 hours and suffering.
Yeah.
For the last couple of weeks, it really puts in question, going back to our conversation earlier, how much damage could TNA do if they were on the same level?
Yeah.
Competition-wise. And not just, like, the roster. I'm talking about production, channel, time, everything. Because right now, if Impact was on Monday night from 7 to 9, mm-hmm. and WWE was on from 7 to 10, I'd be watching Impact.
Yeah.
And then I would use the DVR to fast-forward through all the commercials and watch Raw afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
if anything. Because that's what happened back in the day in the Attitude Era. Like, I watched Raw, and then after that, that's what Nitro was doing 3 hours, mm-hmm. and they would replay the entire 3 hours after Raw finished on WCW. And that's the vibe I'm getting here. Mm-hmm. As much as the TNA storylines aren't where as good as they can be, I don't feel like my intelligence is being insulted when I'm watching TNA.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that vibe now, especially after watching that episode on the way back here. Mm-hmm. It's just, it feels like they don't have any, like they think they don't have competition.
Right. Which, I mean, technically they don't. Yeah. You know, TNA is not on level enough to compete with them. Yeah. But, I mean, if they were, I'd say they'd be kicking WWE's ass. But, you know, they're not, you know. If and buts were candies and nuts, you know, whatever.
WWE, they need to go back and look at what they're doing. They, I know it's more of a network thing, but they just need to tell USA, hey, screw you guys. We need to go back to 2 hours. They are struggling to fill 3 hours.
I've got a better idea. Get rid of Main Event, put SmackDown on the network.
Get rid of Main Event and just leave SmackDown as is.
Or even then. Like, there's too much programming. Especially if they're going to start pulling storylines from Total Divas and actually airing it on television. On the main show. If they're going to use that as a source of creative, something's got to go.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, they're wearing themselves a little bit too thin.
It's kind of like UFC situation where they've been oversaturating the market to the point where even their last pay-per-view was beyond shitty.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening right now with the main program, with the Raw program, that it's SmackDown, half of it you don't have to watch because they're going to redo it on Raw the next week. The other half of SmackDown you don't need to watch because they're replaying all the shit that happened on Raw the night before, the Raw before.
Yeah.
Main Event, you're kind of getting a couple of things that are interesting that you wouldn't see on television if it was live, but it's live on the network.
But you see it on SmackDown and Raw anyway.
Yeah.
The important stuff.
I'm going to say something, and I'm eating my own words here, humble pie, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Because I've always been a proponent of ending the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said it. You can go back. I've always said there needs to be one brand, fuck the whole fictional brand split thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to go back to that.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, when WCW folded and WWE created their own competition within themselves,
mm-hmm.
at least if Raw was bad, you had someone that came in, or somebody that wasn't the McMahon's booking
SmackDown
with their talent, mm-hmm. with their roster. And it worked. SmackDown was a great show when it was on its own, especially the early days of the of the draft split or the brand split. It just, now not only do you have no competition with anybody else, you don't even have competition within yourself.
Yeah.
And it bleeds into every show. Like you said, if Raw was horrible, SmackDown was good. And then during the time when SmackDown wasn't good, at least Raw was good. But when the product's bad, it's across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Like everywhere.
When I wanted the brand split finished, I did want one champion. I just wanted one set of champions. Because I did think that did confuse.
Yeah.
If you're just like a casual watcher, like why is he champion? Why do you have two champions? Mm-hmm. To me, I stand by that. But if you're going to have one brand, my vision of that was 2 hour Raw, 2 hour SmackDown, done.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that. 3 hours on Raw, 1 hour on Main Event, 2 hours on SmackDown. What other extra program we have?
Superstars.
Yeah, anything. There's too much of it. Yeah. And I think if they just cut back a lot of their content, that might fix a lot of issues. Hell, maybe go back to the well and get some certified writers that you know did good in the past, bring them in, fix your screw-ups that you're doing right now.
Yep.
And, you know, do what you gotta do. But I think they're doing what they're doing right now because they know they can.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, what are you gonna do about it?
Mm-hmm. See, what the brand split did do is it kind of gave you a midweek mulligan. You know, if you tried to do a storyline on Raw, at least that storyline stayed on Raw and didn't really affect what was going on SmackDown. And if your writers decided, you know what, that storyline didn't work for JBL and Cena on SmackDown or Raw or whatever, let's try to do the same type of storyline but with some other characters and see. You know, and they had they were able to do things separately, but I'm sure at some point the creative bounced ideas off of each other.
They were in separate. They had separate creative meetings. I mean, it was two separate writing staffs. You know, one for Raw, who only did Raw stuff, and one writing team just for SmackDown. Simple.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if bringing back right now the brand split will...
It's too late.
Save it's, stuff yeah, it's right now. Yeah. I don't know if that, that's
the cure. That's the problem with... That's the biggest issue with WWE. The company itself is too big. You can't just redo something or go back to something that's not working.
Yeah.
It's too much... The cog is already moving, and it's too late to halt it, take one out, replace it. It's too late to do that. You got to keep the machine going.
Well, apparently you could do that with things like Xavier Woods and his stable that they were going to, you know, take off. But you know what? They stopped it.
That's different from whole branding.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm getting to. Like right now, if they decide to go back to the Scratch logo, they can't do that.
Yeah.
It's too late. The machine's already going, you know, so that's my take on that.
Wow, that's a hell of a tangent. Thanks, Chris, you jerk.
Yeah.
This week we need tangents.
Yeah, we do. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Heel dust. Let's brighten your day a little.
Okay, heel dust. Yes, I am loving this. Gold star turning heel. Yes, I want to see this. I want to see more of this.
Do they get a gold star?
They do get a gold star for being heels. It's great. You know, gold dust. You know, trying to apologize, which the only thing that I have a problem with is the fact that it was done twice. It was done on SmackDown and then on Raw again.
You know, I didn't watch SmackDown.
So. Again, okay. Who watches SmackDown?
Yeah, well, but still, it was done twice. You know, if it was just done on Raw, that's it, where he tried to apologize and then they jumped him. Great.
What happened on SmackDown? Like, did he...
The exact same goddamn thing!
The Usos attacked him first?
No. Goldust grabbed a mic and said... Hey, I want to apologize, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, they're like hitting and fighting each
other. That's what I'm saying. Who attacked who first on SmackDown?
Goldstar. Goldstar attacked the Usos first.
So that's why Usos attacked them first.
That's the difference. No,
that makes sense now because...
Well, still, it's the same thing.
No, that was an issue I had on Raw because I did not watch SmackDown. I did not see Goldstar attack them first.
Okay.
So now knowing that the Usos... Because I thought that was where the faces attacked them because when Goldust was starting to apologize, he wasn't being sarcastic or anything. He says, hey, I'm sorry for this, and that's when they went and attacked him. So, that makes more sense to me.
Well, it makes a little bit more sense, but it's still not any less annoying that you had the exact same scenario play out twice.
Okay.
You know, well, almost exact same because one attacked the other first, and the other whatever. So, but other than that, it was the whole thing of I'm going to apologize, and then apology is a ruse, basically.
Yeah.
But all right. That being said, getting that out of the way. I like the rest of it. I like Cody. I like Stardust and Goldust acting, you know, like heels and doing the heel stuff, and they're really embracing it. They're really being
dastardly. I think it was Chris. Don't do that. I think it was Chris that said that last week, where you don't want them to be like tough, stern, like
badass heel.
Yeah. And I don't think they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're being tough by like beating down on the Usos, but they have the same like.
They're still in character.
Yeah, they're still in character. Like, Stardust has some, like, weird spaced out... I'm going to go off on a second here, because...
Uh-oh.
No, this won't take a while. No, Chris, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? You said when Stardust comes out, he looks like Diddy Kong running around. And now that's the only thing I can picture whenever I see him running out of the ring. Whenever Stardust comes out of the entry...
Yeah.
And he's, like, looking around, he goes to the Titantron, and he starts, like...
Patton and Swan at the Titantron.
He's Diddy Kong. That's all I can think of now. Thank you, Chris.
Great. Wow. All right.
So he's Diddy Kong mixed with a mask?
All right. Hey, are we done with them?
Yeah, sure.
All right, fine. Let's move on. God, Jesus. All right. Bray versus Y2J.
Boo.
Boo. Me too.
Steel cage? Don't matter?
To what extent? Maybe. What does it matter? What point does it make?
What does it matter? Bray's going to lose.
Okay.
You know what? Bray might actually win this, to be honest. I think he might, because it's Jericho. Jericho's job is to put people over. But even then, it's like, the damage has already been done with Bray. One win on Raw isn't going to change that fact. Even if it's in a cage match.
I don't know. I saw that the match was coming on next week, and I was like, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, they both had promos. Well, did they? I don't think Jericho even talked about it. Bray talked about it. Jericho?
He may have at the highlight reel. I don't even remember. No, I don't think he did, no. Because
yeah,
I think that was announced like, after the fact.
Yeah, because he got interrupted with all the stuff with Authority and him getting roped into that six-man tag.
I was disappointed when Jericho came out and there's no countdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was coming out like...
It was a six-man tag, yeah. So everybody had to do their hurry.
But maybe next week, for sure. Next week, I want to see that countdown.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Okay. Speaking of next week... You know what? The best thing about Raw this week is all the previews for next week. No.
That says something about the product.
Yeah, I know. They kept plugging Michael Sam, the invitation that they were giving to him. They're saying, hey, we're going to give you an open mic and hey, come to Raw and we're going to invite you, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Why?
Did you roll your eyes whenever they announced that?
Yes.
I did too.
Yeah, like...
What does a football player have to... I know the story. He's the first opening day draft in NFL, mm-hmm. whatever.
And then he got cut. Yeah.
What does that have to do with Raw?
Nothing.
Not a goddamn thing.
Right.
Nothing.
And I don't think he's even ever...
He hasn't accepted it.
Well, he hasn't accepted it, but also I don't think he's ever expressed interest in WWE at all. I mean, I think the most popular tweet that I was not the original one to send out was, wow, they're inviting... Michael Sam, but man, Brendan Williams doesn't get no love. Brendan Williams, he tweets along with Raw. He's a wrestling guy.
He'd be all over that.
Yeah, I know. Like, if anybody would accept with bells on, it'd be Brendan, but eh.
If they're inviting him on this show because he's gay, why the fuck don't they have Darren on the show?
Darren Young?
Yeah. What the hell is he
Yeah,
doing?
They already have they, their, they own.
Their own.
It's like, why are you going to try to get
they have their own gay guy?
They have their own gay guy. They got one of those. why do you need to get
We're gonna
the
put a disclaimer up?
I know. Yeah, that was so insensitive.
Insensitive, but it's common fucking sense. I mean, what the hell? Are they trying to piggyback off of everybody else's hard on because Michael Sam got cut? Luke, at least 100 guys get cut during preseason.
Yep.
This guy's getting the attention because he likes dick. What's the big deal? Like, why does that make him more important than anybody else? At the end of the day, he wore a jersey and played on the same field like everybody else, and he got cut like everybody else. The Cowboys want him, which might be a good position for him. But in all honesty, they already had a guy on the Rams that was doing a better job than him, and he was going to get cut.
Yeah, he didn't get cut because, he's gay, so we're cutting him. He got cut for football reasons. Yeah, he wasn't as impressive as some of the other players out there, and they're like,
he was good. He cut. The guy he was competing with was
better. That's it. There's no controversy. WWE is trying to make it sound like that there was this controversy that...
No, the media in general, a sports center...
Not even all... Well, okay, maybe ESPN, maybe sports center, because they like to put that spin on that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, all the media is pretty much saying, he got cut, he'll probably even get picked up somewhere else.
I don't remember hearing that much about the cut. I remember when he got signed.
Yeah.
That was... Oh, the first openly gay NFL draft. It's like...
Yeah. But that's not what the story is here.
Right.
WWE is trying to spin it into that story. Like, we're going to give you an open mic.
For
why?
What? Yeah, for
so he
what?
Can air his grievances about what? He doesn't have any grievances to air other than the fact that, I got cut, because I wasn't as good a football player. But he's still going to – even if you take out the whole thing about him today, the rumors going around that he might be going to Dallas – even take that out, because if we're operating under the mindset of Monday, under Monday, he didn't have that offer on the table. On Monday, even then, people were like, he'll probably get picked up by somebody else. Like, it was a football decision. It wasn't a gay decision. And the WWE just looks desperate with all this.
It looks desperate. And pathetic.
Looks pathetic and desperate, because you know why? It's an invitation that I guarantee you is not going to be answered.
And they look stupid, because just earlier in the season, as the last season ended and this one started, there's a controversy with a field goal kicker who was trying to sue because he was openly gay, and they were taunting him and harassing him about it and shit, and he was actually pointing that out open. Like, he had columns on ESPN, he had columns on Deadspin, he had columns on a lot of other sports sites that he was openly frustrated and angry. That's the kind of character and person you want on a WWE microphone to air grievances. Sam doesn't look, even not to be a jerk, he doesn't look like the kind of guy to take his frustration out that way, if there is that kind of frustration. Well, he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the attitude to bring that out. Why is he there?
Thank you. Because that was the other thing that I was going to say, is that he doesn't seem like he's
mad about
distraught.
Anything. Yeah.
He's not one of the Bengals. Like, he doesn't have a criminal record. He's gay. Like, he's not gonna, he's not gonna sell tickets for next week's Raw, wherever it is.
Yeah. He's not like one of these grandiose characters that will go out and like talk smack. You know, he's not Ocho Cinco. You know, he's not somebody that's been talking about stuff and, you know, very aggressive in the media.
He's no T.O.
He's more like Andre Johnson. You know, he's kind of low-key, keeps it quiet. You know, if he has to talk, he'll talk when he does. But he's kind of a laid-back dude, at least from what we see in the media. I don't know the guy personally, but from what we see in the media, he's not the kind of guy that will go on to Raw and air his grievances, even if there are grievances. But we don't think there's any fucking grievances.
He bailed out a guy on Twitter after the guy on Twitter made a bet that he would buy everyone in the world a beer if he sacked Johnny Manziel and did the cash sign. And he did it twice in the game, and the dude bailed him out.
Yeah.
So that he's not that guy. He's not going to help you.
Yeah.
Is Titus O'Neil bringing him in because of the football relationship between them? Or is Mark Henry bringing him in because they're black? Or
if they were bringing him in, they would say he's going to be on Raw. Not, hey, we're sending you an invitation. Please come.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that makes this look so pathetic. If they said Michael Sam's going to be on Raw to air, you know, and he's going to have a like mic, like, it was a done deal. Great. That means they already talked to him. The agent said, hey, you're booked. Hey, you're going to be on the air. That's awesome. But they're sending him an open letter invitation. And Stephanie even wrote a letter, and it hasn't been responded to.
How much worse does it get when on the same show, they've already advertised Jerry Springer is going to be there?
That, my friend, is a backup. That's what that is, sir. Hey, we advertise that we're probably going to have this celebrity. He's probably not going to show. Who can we call in a pinch? Hey, Jerry, can you please come on Raw? Because I don't think this guy's going to show.
And Jerry's so happy because someone remembers his phone number and his name. Really? Jerry Springer? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, he's been on Raw before. He's been one of the guest hosts and all that before. So, yeah, I mean,
he's gonna show up. When has he been relevant?
But, yeah, exactly. He's not relevant.
During the Attitude Era.
Even now, Jerry Springer isn't the show that people watch. It's Maury. That's the show that people watch.
The wrestling fans don't chant Jerry for Jerry Springer.
They chant it for Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
that's what they saw. That's what they heard.
That's what they heard. Yeah, Jerry. Oh yeah, let's get Springer on. No, like that is backup because
I think we're being serious. I think this is actually happening backstage in WWE right now.
Yeah, because they didn't announce that on Monday. They announced that shit today. Today it was on the internet that Jerry Springer was showing up. How convenient is it that it's the same day that Michael Sam is going off to Dallas because he might get signed? I guarantee you, all this week Michael Sam's fucking busy. I guarantee you, the regular season of the NFL is about to start this weekend. People are picking people up. There's moves that are being made, contracts that are being done, wheeling and dealing. This guy is a hot commodity right now in the NFL. He's going to be busy.
There's a thin, fine line that I just stepped on that would make the whole thing worth it.
Okay.
Jerry invites Michael Sam in the ring because Michael Sam's the gay guy.
Jerry Springer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Out comes Darren Young to bitch to Jerry Springer how he hasn't gotten a push since he's been announced gay.
Yeah.
And then here comes Woods, Kingston, Big E to announce the formation of whatever team they're going to have with Darren Young as their fourth guy.
Dude, that would be so good.
That's the only silver lining. That's like a long shot Babe Ruth calling out the home run. But if he hits the home run,
that would be good.
That's a big deal.
You don't need Sam for that. That could just be Jerry doing a Jerry segment in the ring. Mm-hmm. My guess, Darren Young. And here comes Darren Young.
Yeah. Well, did you see that Darren Young himself was, in response to all the Michael Sam stuff, was retweeting other people that were saying the exact same thing? Like, oh, you know, you're going to invite Michael Sam and whatever, but you don't show Darren Young any love. He was actively retweeting out those type of tweets. So, yeah, I mean, if it's planned, great. I'll take back most of the stuff that I just got done saying right now on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the direction they're going.
I'm starting to lose faith in WWE as a whole.
You're not the only one.
There you go.
Prove me wrong, WWE. Do something right. Good.
Yeah. This week, there was nothing.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
You got one thing on your note that you haven't scratched out yet. We've danced over the issue.
We've danced around it. Cena and the six-man tag. This six-man tag may as well have just been a one-on-one or Cena versus the entire roster or whatever. It didn't really matter who all else was in the match other than the fact that it was Cena, and it was all about Cena's proving himself to Triple H to have the match which he's already contractually obligated to have anyway. So it's really fucking stupid that to have this match anyway. Why? Just so that you could fill a Raw main event? Okay, yeah, that's great, but you should have had a different premise. The whole premise is that he needs to impress Triple H. That way Triple H gives him the match that he is already booked in anyway. Like, what happens if you lose? He's still booked in the fucking match.
They did the promo. They did the little screenshot of Night of Champions with Cena and Brock.
Yeah, like, what was there to prove? And even if he didn't prove it, he's still going to be in the fucking match. What? Or if what? He's going to sue? They're going to run with that? Cena suing Triple H? Come
Let's
on,
get
now.
A few things clear before we continue on. Is it safe to say that this shit show we're getting has no fault to Brock Lesnar for not being on this show every week?
Oh, no. No, there's so many more problems than that. And that's not even an issue for me. I never had an issue with that.
That's been one of your issues.
Maybe. If Lesnar was booked to be on this show, or if, you know, not this show, but the next show, but more often, then they have more stuff to do with, more ways to fill the main event of Raw, instead of, man, how can we get Cena in the main event? I don't know, this harebrained thing about him having to prove. Like, if Lesnar was there, they didn't have to do this, oh, we gotta prove Cena, whatever, blah, 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 blah. They could've just had Lesnar there, cut a promo, Cena wants to beat him up, and like, oh, no, 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 you're not gonna touch Lesnar, we're gonna have you face Orton, or whoever. Like, there could have been more stuff that they could have done with it. When you take Lesnar out of the equation, that leaves you less things to do and less pawns on the board.
I got something else.
Okay, go ahead.
Bear with me here.
Oh.
It's gonna take a second.
Ah, jeez.
Alright. I've just got done listening to a couple of podcasts from Steve Austin.
What?
Steve Austin.
What?
It's a podcast.
Stone Cold.
What?
It's a podcast.
Stone Cold! Yeah. Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
All right, I'm done.
Okay. So,
Oh, I tell you what.
Are you done?
I'm done.
All right, so, on this podcast, first week, he had Jim Ross. Jim Ross had his two cents on what they should be doing with Cena.
His two cents is usually adds up to $1.50, but you can keep going.
Yeah, it does.
What'd he say?
He's basically saying what he'd want to see is something that I know I talked about it, and I think we all kind of agreed on this, was to show Cena being more intense. He needs to stop coming out with merchandise. The wristbands, the shoes, the t-shirts.
The ass rag.
Yeah, everything. Stop doing that. You're supposed to be intense, but yeah, you got time to like put on your other shilling stuff, you know, that you're trying
your
to
do. Your shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that Jim Ross said. Another thing, more importantly, I think on another podcast, I think the following week, Paul Heyman was on.
No, Jim Ross was on the clean version. Heyman's on the dirty version.
Right, right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So on that one, Paul Heyman was saying pretty much the same thing that we said and same thing that Jim Ross was saying. Although what he was saying, and this is, I'm coming back to what you're saying about Lesnar not being in the show and
okay. They
need to do other things to time it up here, was instead or adding on to him not wearing his merchandise clothing, just come out street clothes, whatever, being more intense like that. No, don't even have him on the show. You have weeks building up to the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Put Cena in a grungy gym. Down to basics. You know, I could be flip-flop. This could be Jim Ross's Santa. But him training, grungy gyms, low-key, none of this shiny, clean, big gym stuff. We're talking down...
Rocky
style. Lesnar has a weakness. That abdomen, whatever it's called.
Diverticulitis.
Damn, okay.
Jinx! Yeah. You owe me a Coke.
That is a weakness. Exploit that. Cena should be training on
body blows.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, doing that, things like that, doing little vignettes every week, kind of like how Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels yes. were doing those.
Although Shawn's was a lot better than Bret's.
Bret's yeah. is getting whooped by his daddy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying, though?
No, like, yeah, like I get
Bret
the
Hart, Bret Hart was just doing like...
The, like Steve Austin McMahon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, you know what I'm saying. And those are some really good points. This is what you could be doing with Cena right now. I understand that you want to make him more tense and that he's not backing down and he just wants to beat... He doesn't want to beat Lesnar. He wants to beat Lesnar's ass.
Right.
That's the whole thing going into Night of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Whatever. But they could be building this up a little bit differently. And to your point, get him out of the main event altogether.
Yeah.
You got enough people in there. You got a six-man tag. You got people to be in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
While they're doing that...
Focus on building Roman.
Yeah, he needs it. So while they're doing the matches, cut to a little vignette of Cena just doing visual training.
Cena needs to be... Yeah, I don't mean to have an alliteration here. Cena needs to be seething. He needs to have like this under-the-surface determination. He needs to be a changed character than coming out of SummerSlam. And he's not. Yeah, sure, he's going out there and saying that, I don't want to beat Lesnar, I want to beat Lesnar's ass. But he's saying it with the same tone as Cena that we've all seen. He's doing it with the same look, the same body language. I went off on this last right. week.
Ditch, know. Never give up. Bring, never surrender.
What?
Okay, his entrance yeah. just to the match. It's the same shit. He comes out, holds up the little rag, runs to the ring.
Looks at the camera and runs.
Runs to the ring, does his little thing. Like, nothing's changed.
Nothing about him has changed except for what he's saying. And he's saying the right things. Whoever's writing the promos for him, or even if it's him that's saying it, he's saying the right things, but words can only do so much. We gotta see what your actions are. And he hasn't taken, the character, hasn't taken any actions to make it look like any of the stuff that happened at SummerSlam mattered, or any of the stuff that happened at SummerSlam changed him. Nothing
right.
has changed about him. And that's sad because you did the one thing that you needed to do to be the catalyst. You had him lose the worst way possible that we have ever seen in the modern era to a guy that, you know, you've beaten before. And there's nothing different about him?
The best example to point out to people that don't understand what we're talking about, oddly enough, was the build with Bray Wyatt that they were getting into Cena's head. And then there was that one episode of Raw where Wyatt's doing his interview in the ring. It's dark. The spotlight's on him. Harper and Rowan are behind him. And then after the promo's over, out of the silhouette, here comes another person with a mask on.
Yeah.
And he's looking around. And he looks around. And then he takes it off. And it's John Cena. Mm-hmm. And he beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
Like that, Bray affected him to the point where he fought fire with fire.
Yes.
That has not happened in this feud so far.
Yeah. And it should be to a higher degree than what it was with Bray. Because with Bray, it was just, you know, a little bit of psychological stuff, whatever, you know, back and forth, we still had a match. But we're not talking about Bray with a grudge feud. We're talking about Lesnar
raping you for the title.
Yeah, raping you for the title.
Yeah.
You're telling me you could change your character a little bit for Bray, but when you take that and you amplify the scale, you don't amplify the scale of your reaction? You should have done both, but they're not doing that. So that's a perfect example. Thank you, Chris.
My final point on bringing those podcasts up is if people like Jim Ross and Paul Heyman.
And Steve Austin.
See, they're all saying these things, surely. And I know we're not the only podcast that have been saying these same things.
We're the only good podcast.
Right. So the other ones listen to us. And
don't
say
that.
Copy that, right? So surely, it has to be getting to WWE at some point that something needs to change. This is the perfect opportunity to do it. Why aren't you doing it?
I'll tell you why. WWE is hard-headed. And they think that they're noble in their patience. And it was reinforced at WrestleMania. And here's how. Steve Austin, Mick Foley, Jericho, all the other podcasts, even not on podcasts, Lance Storm, people on Twitter.
Sean Waltman.
Yeah. All of them. Everybody was saying, man, I don't understand what they're doing with Bryan. Mm-hmm. They need to pull the trigger on Bryan. I remember hearing Steve Austin's podcast. They need to give that boy the green light push.
Yeah.
And everybody, yes, everybody was saying that to WWE. Everybody, not only us, you know, peons that are just IWC members and that's it. Like actual wrestlers.
You
actual
can give yourself insiders. More credit than that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not comparing myself to Jim Ross, sir. I know I have a big head and you make fun of me for having a big head sometimes, but I'm not comparing myself to Jim Ross.
Well, you both have speech impediments at times.
A little bit. Yes. A little bit. So, but everybody was doing the same thing. Everybody was doing the same thing then that we're doing now. You know, then it was give D-Bry the push. Now it's give Cena the edge. I'm not saying turn him heel. Some people are saying turn him heel. I'm saying do something with him that's different. But there's so many people saying that, and WWE's not doing it. And I wonder if the same people that didn't pull the trigger on D-Bry are the same people that aren't pulling the trigger on Cena because they think, oh, we're doing a slow burn. We got him.
No,
they're complaining.
No, they're doing. Know? They're not doing it because, hey, we listened to them and we gave it to Daniel Bryan. And what happened? He's hurt. He's gone. We're not doing that with our cash cow.
Maybe, but man, I mean, it's not storyline and booking's fault that Bryan got hurt. Bryan got hurt because Bryan got hurt. You know, like,
yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
All right. Anything else that we need to bring up from WWE?
No, I'm done.
You're done, Boy. Chris.
You know? I didn't even watch the fucking show. I'm done.
All right. Well, I'm done. Let's talk about some lighter hearted stuff. Pop Culture Rewind. It's running strong, man.
Yes. And I just got, I just looked on the Twitter feed for Pop Culture Rewind.
Yep.
Stitcher just posted our episode.
Yay!
We are now officially on Stitcher. That's,
for our one listener.
Yes, you're welcome, Scott.
That is freaking awesome. There you go, Scott. You can actually listen on Stitcher to Pop Culture Rewind. If you're not on Stitcher, you can download on iTunes, right?
Yes, you can catch us, just search for Pop Culture Rewind on iTunes. Subscribe, give us a review.
Yeah.
Even if you don't listen to us, say we're good.
No, listen. Listen
to us. Yeah, you can listen to us too, yeah.
What was your past episode about?
Well, me and Chris decided to, since the VMAs, or the VMAs, just happened.
VMAs.
Yes. Yes.
Jim Carrey stole my bit, the fucker.
Yeah. He thinks he's funny. Yeah. Anyway, so since that just happened.
Jim Carrey or Chris?
Both. Yeah. So we decided to start talking about that, but then we realized it sucked. So we decided to go back and talk about MTV back
in the glory days.
The glory days, like when we were growing up.
And it is called Pop Culture Rewind anyway, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Remote Control, Beavis and Butthead, Headbangers Ball. Headbangers Ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just me and Chris just kinda shooting around and talking about different things. Like this past episode it was MTV. The episode before that, it was talking about Marvel movies.
Since nice.
Since we just got done talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, which you just saw, right?
Yeah, I just
saw. So now you can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can be part of the fun. And then the first episode we did was for video games.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so check us out. iTunes, now on Stitcher. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. We're on Twitter.
@ Pop Culture RWND.
RWND.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Damn it, Twitter.
Yeah. Two freaking characters.
Two characters.
Yeah. I don't like Twitter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a similar problem with Twitter with NWA Ringside Radio. I had to shorten it. I couldn't fit NWA Ringside Radio altogether by one character. It was NWA Ringside Rady. No. So instead what I did, I took out the side, so it's @ NWA Ring Radio.
What is NWA Ringside?
Whoa, I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
Because
I wasn't.
Yes. This is the second episode that we just posted yesterday, where it's me, Kobe Primo, and Alex Del Barrio, where we talk about all the stuff going around the National Wrestling Alliance, you know, on more of the national scene instead of the local, you know.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. This past episode, we talked to Tony Givens, who's the promoter for NWA Smoky Mountain.
Mm, delicious.
Smoky. Yeah, no, it was a really good interview, really good episode. You know, we got to talk a lot about what's going on over there in Tennessee, you know, with Smoky Mountain and all the big names that have come out of
Nashville
there.
Nashville or Memphis?
God, what did they say it was? It was, I can't remember the name of the city. God dang it.
Knoxville?
You're putting me on the spot. No,
no. Haggis!
No, Haggis? Haggis, Tennessee? Is there a Haggis, Tennessee?
I'm sure
there is. Anyway, well, we talked about that and, you know, talked about, you know, the stuff going on there at Smoky Mountain. And then we also, highlighted some of the things going on, out in, Vendetta Pro out in California. And of course, you know, some of the things happening here in Houston, NWA Houston. So, you know, it's a good show. If you enjoy, any of the NWA chapters and wherever you're at, I suggest, checking out, Ringside Radio because, you know, we talk about all the stuff going on at the upper level of the NWA. So it's pretty cool. So NWA Ringside is where you can find it on there. And yeah, so awesome stuff. But the fun doesn't end there. I mean, we've been whoring ourselves out, you know, just doing other podcasts and our side projects. We're really growing this brand here. Travis, why don't you tell us about the other one that we have?
The other
podcast.
The one with the whores.
Yeah, the other goddamn podcast.
We're creating a small empire here.
All right. Hey, you want a network. There you go.
I did, yes.
Deep in the horror of Texas. It's
So there's no prostitution.
Horror.
Oh, fuck.
Not whores.
I would delete the ones I
downloaded then. Horror, yeah. Just me, my buddies, Aaron and Jeff, we talk about just different, you know, horror movies and genres. Like this last episode just posted up yesterday. We're in Texas. Mm-hmm. So the one franchise that we felt to discuss was
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There you go. So, yeah. So we go into kind of deep dive in that franchise and just talk about a couple different things. So
I thought the only friends he had was us.
Apparently not.
I'm expanding.
Well, friends, frenemies.
Friends, right?
Yeah, sure, Chris.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. anything else you got to say about that?
Oh, yes. You should probably go to facebook.com/deepinthehorrorofTexas.
H-O-R-R-O-R.
Yes, thank you. Is that what it sounds like whenever I
say it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Chris over here.
Yeah.
So track mine.
Yes. You can also... Actually, we're on iTunes on that one, too. Just do a search for the name, also. Also, deepinthehorrorofTexas.podbean.com if you want to get straight, you know, go straight to the website for those. And then you can also find us on Twitter at DeepHorrorTX.
All right. Cool. Thank you, sir, for all those amazing plugs.
That's what she said?
Yeah. Horror. Anyway, okay, deep. We got to talk about our friends from Clutch City Productions.
Clutch City.
On September the 26th through September the 28th, Alamo City Comic Con will be going down. And, you know, we mentioned this a little bit, you know, the last couple of weeks. Got to mention it again. The friends down at Clutch City are taking to that comic convention. A bunch of wrestlers that you might know. Axe and Smash of Demolition.
Here comes the axe.
Here comes the smasher.
The Demolition.
Yeah.
They're going to be there.
Yeah. Those guys. Yeah. And Raj Singh, formerly known as Jinder Mahal.
And yeah, Jinder Mahal!
Yeah! I was waiting for that. Tito Santana. Yay, Tito.
Arriba.
Hey, that's a Houston Racing Radio alumni.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. That's another show. One of our first guests.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. We should have him on sometime soon again.
Yeah. Or... we might be able to just put that up for our 100th episode, which is coming up pretty soon.
It's coming up soon, like 2 episodes.
Yeah.
We are so unprepared.
Yeah, we are very unprepared. Maurice will be there as well.
Did y'all watch the Ice Bucket Challenge DJ?
No.
You should.
Yeah? Better than Layla's?
Wet t-shirt slow motion?
Okay. Yeah, you sold me. All right. Bobby Heenan? I don't think he did an Ice Bucket Challenge.
No.
It would kill him. Come on. We're all thinking it.
Chris, you're terrible. And then...
he grunted at me. I wasn't even doing anything.
I was thinking it.
You're thinking it then.
Jeez. And then, of course, the awesome duo of Lita and Trish Stratus will be there as well.
Oh, they make great pairs.
Gilbert, if you're listening, do a photo op. Set that up. I want a photo op with Trish and Lita. Make it happen.
There you go.
No price is too low. Goddamn right.
Yeah, you go to ClutchCityProductions.com and figure out all the prices for the photo ops and whatnot. So yes. Check that out. Clutch City, Clutch City, Clutch City. All right. Chris, you got one?
Yes. I was raving about it around this time last year.
Uh-huh.
Fozzy is back in town again.
Woo!
September the 21st at the House of Blues, they are opening up for Theory of a Dead Man.
Nice.
And they'll be playing songs off of their new record, Do You Want to Start a War? I've heard half of it so far. I am not disappointed at all. If half of the set list is songs off of that, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to go. It's the day after I'm going to Lit Biscuit in San Antonio on the 20th. If I can make it back in time the next day, I will definitely go to that. Anybody in the San Antonio area, Bacon, Theory of a Dead Man, and Fozzy will also be playing on the 19th at Backstage Live.
Nice. Cool. Nice to see Jericho coming back around to this edge of the universe here.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. All right. Anything else, guys, before we head on out?
Oh, if anybody is feeling charitable, still raising money for my skydive. Benefiting Children's Cancer Recovery Foundation. You guys posted the link last week on the Facebook and Twitter timelines. Just go fishing from there. Anything helps, a value meal, a coffee from Starbucks, a comic, whatever you want to donate, it all goes to a good cause. And hopefully they put a parachute in my pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I wouldn't doubt it either way.
Yeah. All right, cool. Travis?
I think I might have something.
Oh, what do you got, Trav?
Since we are gearing up for our 100th episode.
Yes, a couple episodes away.
Do we want to initiate a new hashtag AskHWR?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we did get a request this past week on Twitter saying, hey, why don't you do the interactive stuff with your listeners?
It has been a long time since.
It's been a while. We kind of forgot.
And now the 100th episode, that would be a good time to maybe bring that back. Maybe bigger and better than ever. Maybe we can do something else or find a way to make it better.
Funniest moment. Your favorite moment on Houston Wrestling Radio. Tell us the episode number and what we said. Because we're old, that's we terrible. Forget. Less work for us having to edit.
And tell us what the time mark is. So we'll
timestamp that. That way we know what it was. Yeah, we'll make you do all the work.
Yeah, no. Hell, we could do a question and answer only episode if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking Travis was going more along the lines of. I'm down with that. Yeah, episode 100, we'll just do Ask HWR. Send us in your questions.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Anything. And we'll answer. We'll make our 100th episode be an interactive episode with you, the fans.
And depending on how many responses we get?
Watch, we only get two.
That might be all we talk about, or that might be the only thing we do. Yeah. If WWE keeps it up like this, we might want to talk about WWE in 2 weeks from now. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
DJ Hartberg, we're looking at you.
Yeah, start sending them in. You know, I know
he doesn't listen anymore.
Yeah, he does. I know it's a little bit early because next week is 99, so we're talking about in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it gives us some time to look at the stuff. Maybe, you know, if you tell us, hey, what do you think about
anything? WWE, you know, WWF, WCW, ECW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, comics, movies, sex, whatever, relationships.
Pro wrestling,
oh, yeah. TNA, that guy, too. Yeah. Yeah, anything. It doesn't have to be wrestling, or it could be all about wrestling.
Pornhub.
Yeah, we've seen those nude videos and pictures of Jennifer Lawrence.
The Fappening.
Man. Yeah.
The Fappening? Is that what you call it?
That's what it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know.
Fridge tits, Kate Upton.
Yeah. All right.
I've seen better.
Send us
better
your questions. Home. Hashtag AskHWR.
Yeah.
Then another hashtag HWR100?
We'll do that later.
Yeah. AskHWR. Whatever. All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
Oh, you son of a bitch! I don't have a way to end it, you fuckity fuck. intro all dejected. Like, eh. Galactosina Studios, eh. 98, eh.
Wrestling. Don't give a fuck.
And my name's still Abel? You're still Travis, right? The wetback's still here? Okay. We want to get this started? Fuck it. Let's
kick this pig.
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah. Why not? All right.
Nah. Yeah.
No?
If you want to, go ahead.
You want to feel useful by saying your name, huh?
This is Travis.
No, you can do it to me.
I don't care. Well, like, if we weren't contractually obligated, we wouldn't even be here right now. You'd be stroking your beard, I'd be stroking something else, and you'd be asleep.
You have a contract?
Damn it.
That explains why we haven't gotten the paychecks in the mail.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Fine. In 3, 2...
Live from La Cocina Studios, it's the 98th edition of Houston.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey.